Welcome to Crosstalk with Novell, discussions on the future of research and navigating the current restraints imparted by social distancing on your research, patient, and student interactions. I'm Anna Zach with Novell, and with me today is Senior Professor Julie Steele. Julie is the Director of the Biomechanics Research Laboratory in the School of Medicine at the University of Wollongong in Australia. Over the past 37 years, her research has focused on developing innovative strategies based on applied biomechanics to decrease injury potential and optimize quality of life for individuals. She is a recipient of the 2005 New South Wales Telstra Businesswoman of the Year. She's a member of the World Council of Biomechanics. She served on the Executive Council of several national and international professional associations, including being the first Australian president of the International Society of Biomechanics. And she was appointed a member of the Order of Australia for significant service to science in the field of biomechanics, to higher education, and to professional associations. Julie's a great resource, and she's got a lot of great perspective and insight to share with you, and we're excited to have her. For you and your work and the kind of work that you do, how have you had to adapt, and how are things looking differently? I'm assuming you're still working at home?
Well, yes and no. So my year has been a little bit chaotic. After 37 years of working at the university, myself and my husband decided to take the year off and spoil ourselves by traveling the year. That's like long service leave. And so that started in March. And of course, March was when the virus hit. So we got about 2 weeks into our trip and had to head for home. So our year has been turned upside down in terms of we've gradually just watched all these little adventures that we had planned to spoil ourselves be cancelled one after the other. So I had actually taken leave from work and had been replaced by one of my mature age postgraduate students. So he was taking over the teaching. Since I've come back, I obviously can't go back to work per se because he's there, but I've been in lockdown at home most of the time, really sitting back and having a combination of helping my PhD students who are still going through, helping Josh, who's taken over for me, understand some of the content, and just doing a lot of domestic stuff. My garden's looking sparkling. You know, all those things that you never have time for, I've just decided, well, if I'm going to be on leave, I might as well use the time in a productive way and just get stuck into the things that most academics never have time for.
Definitely. So when it comes to working with your PhD students and with Chris, that's the man that took over for you?
Josh.
Josh, excuse me. What have you seen in terms of working with them about the best ways to sort of keep students engaged and also exposed to and interacting with research topics and new ideas and all of that? It's I'm assuming quite different than when you're doing that in person.
Well, I still strongly believe, maybe I'm old fashioned, but I strongly believe in that personal connection. Mm-hmm. So since I've been in lockdown, I've still been meeting then with my students, but via Zoom, via Skype, via whatever way. So we can still have that weekly interaction. And I think that's been important, that face-to-face, that, you know, to put things in an email, that's okay, but often it's hard to read the context or read between the lines, and people won't put things in writing. So I think that's been imperative to use the various online platforms to keep in contact. And on a regular basis. So we schedule the same time each week. We may have to modify it depending on what's going on, but definitely keeping that face-to-face contact and looking forward to planning things ahead and things that we can control. Mm. So I've had one PhD student who was meant to start her physical data collection, and we've had a university-wide ban on any face-to-face research with humans. Until about yesterday, we actually now had that lifted as long as we have an approved COVID plan. Now, at first, the poor student was, you know, shattered. Maddie, she's doing it on footwear design. It's very, very relevant to the work we do with the pressure measurement. Mm-hmm. So she was meant to be going out there and scanning the feet of all these players with implications for footwear design for this phase of the thesis. So we sat down and instead we had to say, well, the question doesn't need to change. I think the questions can still be the same. We just have to be really creative and flexible in terms of how we go about answering it. So while we're in lockdown, she put her efforts into developing this online survey and really questioning netball players. Netball's this funny sport that we play in the Commonwealth countries. But what she did was develop the survey. She was lucky that she had already had this in mind. So she had done some focus groups to develop it before the lockdown came. We were hesitant at first. We thought, my gosh, will anyone want to be doing this type of thing while this pandemic's on? In the end, it's actually been the best timing ever. She's had over 3,000 responses, which for us in Australia to do a survey and get 3,000 responses, and they're still growing, because I think people have been desperate to do something different. So we had to modify the content of the survey because we couldn't talk about what you're currently doing, because no one's currently doing any sport. Well, they started to now, but they weren't at the time. So we had to rephrase some of the questions. It's online, and she's had this fabulous response while we now plan about how she can develop a COVID-safe protocol to actually implement the next phase of her research when we're confident that that's safe to do so.
Definitely. Having that time to think and just to sort of step back a little bit, has anything influenced you or surprised you in terms of what you've gravitated towards when it comes to those manuscripts? What's sort of grabbed your interest?
I keep saying, like, all my student stuff interests me.
Yeah.
it's just, again, I'm always, in terms of my enthusiasm for it, it comes from watching what the postgrads come up with. Mm-hmm. I mean, we start the discussions together, they come up with a topic together, but to see where they take it. One of my current students, James, is writing the final manuscript, which will go into his PhD thesis. The statistics he started using were far in excess of what I could actually be certain of. So he's now got international connections, actually a gentleman in Canada who's helping him with the statistics. So watching them evolve beyond the capacities that I have is just delightful. And to watch what they do with, I mean, he's doing some very unusual work. Actually, Novell came to the rescue with his work. He's looking at the forces generated when surfers do aerials on a surfboard, but landing, they're simulated aerials, so they're in the actual laboratory. And so we actually have some clients' mats that he's been able to plane the surface of the surfboard and put the mats on top. And these guys are running on a mini tramp, hurling themselves into the air, doing rotations and landing on a crash mat on their surfboard. And we're looking at the pressures and the forces and how that relates to their technique, with implications for trying to solve why some of them get injuries the way they do. So it's looking at, my passion wasn't surfing. The student's passion was surfing. My passion has always been lower limb landing mechanics. So I tend to wait until I have a student that has a passion, because if they're passionate about it, they're going to drive the research. It's going to go places where I could never take it. It's the same as the survey I'm talking about. Maddie is just an absolutely obsessed netball player. She put her heart and soul into the survey and then really made sure she could contact everyone she knew in the whole netball world to make sure that survey goes. So it's watching these students take their passion, intertwine it with the interests I have, and then take it beyond what I would ever imagined.
That is so neat. That must be really cool to watch.
Oh, and as I said, people often say to me, how, after kind of doing this research for 37, 38 years, do you keep motivated? And I said, the things that inspire me are not so much the senior academics, because I suppose I'm one of the most senior now, but it's the idea of watching what the next generation are doing, watching what my past PhD students are doing and where they're going, and watching what my current students are doing, and being so creative again in this time of lockdown.
Absolutely. Final question here before we wrap up, but you did mention Novell's work with that student survey or project. How can technology developers, be it Novell, anyone else that's watching, work to help students or to help you in this current environment? How can they really be an asset to researchers, to students, etc.?
I think, again, because most of our work is human-based testing, and traditionally what we tend to do is invite participants into the laboratory, we have them stand there passively, and then we stick things on them, and then we get them to do an experimental task, and we ask them, you know, to do things, and we collect the data. In this next generation, I think we're going to have, with this, you know, COVID safe kind of plans, we have to come up with creative ways where we're not touching people. Mm-hmm. We need to come up with ways that we can adhere to the health orders. And in Australia, that's very much about that physical distancing, very, very vigorous hygiene and things like that. So with the idea of developing any instrumentation that is simple enough for participants to use themselves without hands all over them. Better still would be that instrumentation that is robust enough and simple enough to use that we could get to the participants who could collect data in the real world environment so they don't even have to come into the lab.
Definitely. Absolutely. That's a great point. Thank you so much for joining us, Julie. I hope you have a great trip this weekend, by the way.
Oh, look, it's just, it's local because again, we just don't know what's going to happen. I'm a mad keen trail runner, so it's a little 50-kilometer trail race through the bush in the back of New South Wales. But even again, it's quite interesting. They've had to go through an amazing COVID-safe plan. So for those who do trail running, you normally come to aid stations and you grab food and you grab. It's all now they've had to come up with. Well, you can't just grab food now. You have to wait. You have to look. You have to be given it. So it's just a way again. I think it's so important that people do keep in touch with nature out there, do keep physically fit in this time. I think that's been, and for me, apart from that, it's a great time. It's where probably where I come up with my solutions to a lot of the problems. So I might read a student's work. I'm trying to work out an answer to a question they have or a better way to format something. I go off for a 20-kilometer run and I come back and I go, that's it. That time to clear your head.
Yes.
And I think that's really important. I mean, because I have, like, as I said, part of this year, and I'll be quite honest here, was to celebrate my 60th birthday.
Oh,
and I had planned to go to the Azores in the mid-Atlantic Ocean, all this. And because I couldn't do that, I thought, right, instead I'll run along the coast here. So I ran 60 kilometres for 60 years.
Wow.
But it's just coming up with creative ways that, well, if you can't do what you planned, what else could you do to still have that joy and just celebrate different milestones, even if we can't do it the way that we would have done?
Absolutely. That's such a great note to end on. Well, thank you again and have a good rest of your day.
You too. And good evening.
Yes, exactly.
Good morning. The surf is up here apparently, and my son's a passionate surfer, so I'll sneak out and take a few photographs of him.
Nice. That sounds lovely.
Winter low. So lovely to meet you, and,
yeah, you as well.
And stay safe.
Yes, you as well, definitely.